Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Walter Dean, and you are on the show called Getting It Done. For the last 3 weeks, we have rated the top three all-time jazz pianists. Number one was Oscar Peterson, and number two was Earl Garner. Number three was the great Art Tatum. This week, I wanted to rank number four. However, during my research, a question jumped out of my head and in my face that made me stop and go back and further look into the history and consider some other musical elements. Number one, how many types of jazz were there around that time, and how many are there now? Did each of these great musicians at that particular time play any of these types? Don't get me wrong, I do plan on identifying number four all time, but credit should be given to those early developers. Guess what I found out? There are one jazz artist that believes he had a hand in creating jazz. Speaking of the great Jelly Roll Morton. Morton indicated that he created Dixieland jazz when he was 12 years old. Now, you can believe that if you want to, because back in the day, many things were happening that were not given credit for. And this man could have done that. And check this out. He played ragtime music as an adult pianist. Ragtime mostly was played by the piano at that particular time. Jelly Roll was born in 1890 and passed on in 1941 at the age of 51. Therefore, he never really reached his full potential. He began playing professionally in houses of ill repute, and he did record some music in 1970 all the way up until 1937-38. What was so remarkable about his accomplishments, this man didn't, his life was not a very long life, but it was a very short one, 51. But he started playing a harmonica when he was 5 years old. And that's not just to say everything about this man. He was a composer or arranger, and for all the instruments he in his band, he was a band leader. And actually could sing, too. So maybe what we should do before going on with the show is just give a little listen to what this man was able to do with a piano. This is Jelly Roll Morton. Thank you. That was the great Jelly Roll Morton, the person that I really never got a chance to hear too much about when I was a child, but evidently my mother, I heard her say something to me way back when in the day when she was, I was the only child, actually, my sisters weren't even alive, but I remember her talking about with my aunt. Yeah, Edna talking about this man can really tickle the keys. I don't hardly remember that, but I remember something like that because that was back in 1941. Even actually, he had already passed away, and she was still, we're talking about him. If you listen very closely, you were able to hear the powerful left hand swinging back and forth. So he played a mixture of music. He played not only a Dixieland touch, a rag time touch, he also played sort of a swing kind of a touch with his piano. Back in the day, a lot of musical instruments back in the 1970s to 1920, a lot of orchestrations were just made just for piano, and he composed that song called West End Blues or Ragtime Blues, and that was supposed to be a ragtime piano playing. He later on was able to put together a Red Hot Peppers jazz group, and he wrote the music for all of the various instruments. And the pianos that we rated in the last 3 weeks also could do a stride playing. But the person who invented this type of stride playing was a gentleman by the name of James P. Johnson. I don't have any of his music pulled up. So next week, when we get back to it, I'd like for you to hear him. Although the styles are so similar, it's very difficult to be able to tell what his music sounded like that made him so different. But he was different. Johnson was born in 1893, 3 years after Jelly Roll Morton. However, he didn't pass on until 1955 at the age of 62. And somehow, he, along with Willie the Lion Smith, who was born the same year, 1893, and he actually lived to be 80 years old and didn't pass on until 1973. So, you know, Johnson, on the other hand, was born in 1894 or in 93, and he, along with Jelly Roll, actually built a bridge between ragtime and Dixieland jazz. In their styles of playing, Johnson playings were modeled after the great Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington picked up on Johnson's style, so was Count Basie and Fats Waller, and of course the great Art Tatum. All played in that style of stride, which was a completely different kind of striding at that particular time. Let's play another one of his songs, which was done a little bit later. And this was called, this one is called the Alabama Bound Library. It was Alabama. I'm Alabama. That's what it's called.
Down on the Gulf Coast in 1904. I'm just going to the St. Louis Exposition to get in the piano contest, which was won by Alfred Wilson of New Orleans. I was very much disgusted because I thought I should have gone. I thought Tony Jackson was going to be there, and of course that kind of frightened me. I knew I could have taken Albert Wilson. So then I decided that I would travel about different little spots. Of course, I was down in Biloxi, Mississippi during the time. I used to often frequent the flat top, which was nothing but an old honky tonk. Where nothing but the blues were played. There was fellas around playing the blues like Rocky Johnny, Skinnyhead Pete, Old Florida Sam, and Figgy Sam, that much. Why did they play this ordinary blues, the real low-down blues, honky-tonk blues? Well, for instance, Rocky Johnny used to say to sing a tune something like this. The title was, all you gals better get out and walk, because he's going to start his dirty talk. So he happened to truck down to Mobile. At that time, I was supposed to be a very good pool player, and I could slip upon a lot of people playing pool. Because I played piano, and they thought I devoted all my time to the piano. So we got in Alabama bound, and the frequent saying was, any place that you were going, why, you were supposed to be bound for that place. So in fact, it was Alabama bound. When I got there, I wrote this tune called Alabama Bound. It goes this way. I'm Alabama bound. Alabama bound. If you like me, see, baby, you gotta be this time. When that blues can grow, when I hang red around, if you want my love, sweet baby, you got to run me down. She said, don't you leave me here. Don't leave me here. But sweet mama, if you just must go, leave her down for there. I said, sweet mama, baby. Sweet mama, babe, if you must stay, I'll be gone for days and days.
Yeah, of course.
Not your favorite?
That was the one and only Jelly Roll Morton. And if you listen very carefully, what was so remarkable about him, he could sing too. That's not a bad rendition of that particular song, although it's been played later on. What was so remarkable about this man is that he had a lot of talent, and he demonstrated just now the stride technique on the left hand was going back and forth. This particular technique can really be heard in most of the recordings by Art Tatum and Earl Garner. However, Oscar Peterson played so many different styles that you couldn't hear it, or sometimes you could hear it, you could depict it, but he didn't stay on it too long, although he could if he wanted to. One artist who was famous for playing and using the stride technique was a gentleman by the name of Fats Waller. Now, Fats was a gentleman that He was just a remarkable person, Joe, I know you're out there. Fats Waller didn't live a long life. He passed on when he was only 39 years old. His stride and his playing was so different than everybody else's. Reason for it, he started off in ragtime, went from ragtime to Dixieland, and then from Dixieland to swing. So he bridged the gap between all three different kinds of techniques and was able, and died actually in 1943. He was born in 1904, so he was only 39 years old. Okay, let me see if I can stop and play something from Fats Waller that y'all might appreciate. Let's see. Honeysuckle Rose, I think I'll play that one. Yeah, that's about right. You know how you call yourself stop doing something? Well, here it is. Yes, that was a great Fats Waller. And I'm going to play one more of his songs, which he made some famous called Ain't the Steve. Thank you. Great Fats Waller, and very interesting character, actually. Not only his style of playing was slightly different around that particular time, but what was so remarkable about him, he had a comedic structure to him. And I'm just trying to cut this thing off so I can talk. He wrote the songs like Ain't Misbehavin', Autumn in New York, Honeysuckle Rose. He was a composer, singer, a jazz pianist, an organist, and a comedic entertainer. If you were to look at him on YouTube, you'll find that he makes all kinds of facial expressions while saying certain kinds of things in his songs. But he was a very excellent pianist player that really paid a lot of attention to the stride technique when playing the piano. So we are going to hopefully listen to some other things that Fats Waller did. And this time, instead of me running my mouth, you'll hear, it'll go on for some time, and you'll hear him talk, and then you'll hear some other people talk about how what shortened his life. So here is Fats Waller with the very best.
I'm real frightened with you that I'm thinking of. They misbehaving, saving on me for you, just you. Whack that home in a car, don't go nowhere.
What do I tell you? Kisses, my dear. I was worried about them all. Believe me, dear.
Cut my fingers from. Not that I'm superstitious. I'm afraid it's too superstitious. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my no one around I'm just being kind of stupid. Cause
I'm living in a gigantic cologne. Cause you're too big. No,
honey pie. Quiet, we want blue. I'm that far locally that I can't wait to get up.
Your gal, she loves you. She thinks you're nice.
She thinks you better than they should make it a paradise. That I feel her.
She likes your loving. She likes your ring. A man, oh man, them things are too big. Yes, your things too big.
Say I can't tolerate you, baby. Put your feet down. Let me on your feet and turn your balance and go. Oh, play that talk house music. I love it. I said, you frown. Say, your pedal extremities are colossal. Like me, you're nothing but an old fox. You got me walking, talking, not walking. Cause you seem
too big.
Yes, you're big, too big. Bang, bang, you got your bang, bang, bang. Say, I can't tolerate you, I really hate you. Cause you're big, too big. You think your fatal extremities are fatal.
Sometimes you may even get the three names. They have been up 10 days drinking with a cat not here. Cat not been drinking, eating sparsely. When he went to California, he was going back, he died on the train. There's a thing in life, drank a lot, breast smoking, takes a toll, it's a while. So he had so much talent, they said, and I guess, you know, it's the people with a whole lot of talent, they don't usually live with. They get in, they do that thing real quick and get out of here.
Who the hell with the pink buttermilk? Look what's going on here. Come out of there, you
have to go. That means they have $1,000.
About four or five times, him singing him each time differently, and then the last one with a young lady singing with him. What was so remarkable about this man, he didn't live a long life, but he created a lot of fantastic music. And he demonstrated in some of those songs that you heard the ability, what was called the stride piano technique, where the left hand moves up and down the piano. And what was so remarkable, he crossed over from ragtime into Dixieland and later on swing music in that short period of time that he lived. And there were others I would like to mention, like Teddy Wilson and Father Hines. I'll try to visit them next week. What is we have to actually a person that I really want you all to hear, who I think was a great musician also. And what happens is I put him up on the YouTube, and because I pushed down one particular button, it completely disappeared. So hold the line for 1 second while I try to pull that back up, because this gentleman we're going to be talking about was really a remarkable instrumentalist. Didn't live long either, for some strange reason. That normally happens to a lot of our great musicians. And that one of those songs that we heard Fats Waller do was from a movie called Stormy Weather. And in that movie was one of the great singers that I will introduce at another time. And she played in that along with a couple of tap dancers. So let me see if I can pull up Bud Powell and talk to you about Bud Powell. So hold the line 1 second. Yeah, let's see if what happens here. But while we're waiting for it to pull up. Let me see if I can. This week, our featured number four all-time jazz great is actually Bud Powell. And I'm really having a real difficult time of pulling him up for some reason. This computer always seems to act up on me just before I go into dealing with my program. For some reason, It just says, I am not going to let you be successful. I'm going to see if I can, while I'm talking to you, pull him up. Buck Hall, who I think was number four, as one of the great pianists, he started off extremely young, started playing piano when he was like 3 or 4 years old. And, let's see if that works. Yes, that did pull it off. So let me tell you a bit about Bud Powell. We got about maybe 17 or 18 minutes left before I do my closing. Bud Powell, who I consider to be a genius, like most of the other people that were in number one, two, and three, I rated him fourth all time because of his creative ability. He sounded a lot like Charlie Parker, but he was doing it on the piano. He was influenced by Art Tatum, and then again, Charlie Parker. Powell was a leading figure in the development of what we call today modern jazz. He was born in 1924, and he passed on in 1966 at the tender age of 41. Can you believe that? Let's listen to this great artist you can get a feel what he was like back in the day. Great Bud Powell playing Collard Greens and Black Eyed Peas, one of his songs that he wrote himself, actually, and that was back in 1956. What was so interesting about Bud, he hung out with, and his best friend was Thelonious Monk. That was one of his buddies. and they both ended up having the same problem. Bud Powell lost his mind. They had to take him out of every time he, back in the 1960s, like about 1965, they had to cart him off to a resting place for him to play, to stay. He loses his mind, actually, after a while, to get on the piano. They want to get off of a particular song. And so he, as did Thelonious, had a major problem. Both of them were geniuses, but that's besides the point. One of the things that I found remarkable about Bud Powell was that he bridged the gap between what was called bebop and modern jazz. That song that he just finished playing was a song that was more of a bebop song. Let's see what he sounds like on a song called Bouncing with Bud. Again, that was Bud Powell playing Bouncing with Bud. It was actually recorded in 1959. And you can see where he has changed over from the bebop kind of sound, although he still includes some of his runs were just like Charlie Parker's runs. Bud not only played some great music himself, but he played with some great artists like Art Blakey, Miles Davis, Dexter Gordon, and Sonny Rollins. And I think he even played with Charlie Mingus. And so and each one of those individuals were actually considered to be geniuses. And so Bud was, I wish I had enough time. I have about 10 minutes left. Here's a song he recorded in 1959 called Get happy. Unreal. I'm watching it on YouTube and seeing this man's hands sort of disappear while he's playing certain runs. Really interesting. He started playing the piano at age 5. And he got interested in his father had him doing classical music to start off with. But he got interested in the jazz scene way back then at the age of 5 and decided that he liked James P. Johnson's stride structure, and he liked Fats Waller's style of playing. And so as a child, that's how he started. I'd like to go back and play something at the age that he played, at the age of 18. Thank you.
I'm fading out mainly because I really wanted. The name of that song is called Un Poco Loco. And actually, he was a very young man at the time when he played this. And it was a group that he had put together that he played it with, which included a gentleman by the name of Clifford Brown, who, and on the drums you hear a little Art Blakely. They both, for all of them, were very, very young at the time. So I'm going to sort of close out the show with him playing another song that everybody here may have heard about. If you haven't, it was one of the last things that he recorded, and it's, I'm going to let you listen to it. It's, well, we're going to be switching over, and this is called Bud Powell's Giant Jazz. Thanks for listening in. Yours truly.